Twice a month, the Mat-Su School Board meets to discuss any and everything that affects local schools.
I call this regular meeting of the Matanuska-Susitna Borough School District to order.
This is In Summary with Emily Forstner.
I'm Emily Forstner with the In Summary broadcast for the Mat-Su School Board meeting on Monday, January 10th. Well, Happy New Year. It's 2022. A Bora wind event tore through the valley during the first full week of the new year. The wind and the havoc left in its wake kept all but six northern schools closed throughout the week. Hence, the regular Wednesday meeting rescheduled for Monday. All members were in attendance. It's not unusual for the agenda in the first meeting of the new year to be short. Pardon the pun, but this meeting wasn't just short. It flew by. Within 60 minutes, the meeting ended for an executive session covering negotiations. Elizabeth Ripley, CEO for the Mat-Su Health Foundation, gave public testimony in favor of the district's legislative priority item for the state to create a shared health claim database. Without a shared claim database, she said, ultimately, it's education that pays the cost.
Because Alaska leads the nation in having the highest healthcare costs of any state. When people talk about how costly our education system is, we reframe that to explain that our education system is struggling with a cost of healthcare problem. Our state's extraordinary healthcare costs make money take out of the classrooms where it is needed most.
Dr. Trainey shook his head in agreement when Dr. Ripley said that without a shared database, school districts are forced into unfair negotiations with insurance companies.
Right now, Alaska school districts, local and state governments, and businesses are flying blind. We are negotiating health insurance contracts without the data, without understanding if these expenses are rational, reasonable, or even affect the health of our staff in positive ways. The insurance companies we are negotiating with have the data. It's an unfair negotiation. Creating an all-payer claims database is the first step in meaningful transparency. It will help us better determine the value of our healthcare dollars and negotiate more meaningful value for this huge expense.
Action items were a breeze. The budget revision, the resolution for a commitment of revenue to the Renewal and Replacement Fund, and the legislative priority list, including lobbying for a shared claim database, all passed unanimously without discussion. In the superintendent's report, Dr. Trainey reported on the wind event's damage sustained last week.
As you all know, January 1st through 5th, we had this Bora wind event. Super cold temperatures, lots of power outages, lots of wind. Roof damage, broken windows, frozen pipes, debris, damaged vehicles. On the 3rd, the governor declared it a disaster area here in Mat-Su. Over the weekend, our district facilities department were monitoring the building systems as of 2 a.m. on the 3rd. That's when the first alarms started coming in of major system failures at facilities. So pretty much since that time, our facilities folks have been and still are working around the clock.
He noted that a week-long windstorm presented unique challenges.
This is a totally different event than like the earthquake where it happened and it was over with. While we were in cabinet meeting this morning between 9 and noon, we had 7 additional failures, and most of them are around water systems that have frozen.
Trainey said that he had hoped to open all schools on last Thursday, but on top of wind damage, there was also the matter of busing.
We knew that we had significant staffing problems, particularly with first student. We had a number there where it was maybe a third of their staff were unavailable to drive.
Taking lessons learned from the 2018 earthquake and the 2020 pandemic, Dr. Trainey said the district was able to respond quickly and efficiently to do everything possible to open schools within the week. Operations and maintenance adapted a spreadsheet that was created after the earthquake. It uses a color code of red, yellow, and green to identify levels of safety. damage assessment prioritized all three water systems, fire suppression, heating, and the domestic water supply. This was followed by visual inspections at each site for inside and outside safety hazards. As of Monday morning, all schools were open. By Monday night, 75% of all schools in the district recorded needing repairs in some form or another. The district continues the inspection of roofs and exterior damage as conditions allow, and all water systems continue to be monitored. The good news? There has been no loss of technology hardware, major systems, or data applications. The data center and the disaster recovery location was safe with backup power, and there have been no noted issues. Dr. Traney and the entire board throughout the meeting applauded the Operations and Facilities Department, who helped keep the building safe and ready for school.
You know, lots of you have already echoed this. Our Facilities Department, they deserve the biggest thank you. You know, lots of people have been doing heroic things over the last 2 years, and over the last 10 days, Facilities has really stepped up and are continuing to step up because it still is an ongoing process.
It's hard to say what the final bill will be for all the damage. Dr. Traney said some of the expense will go to overtime and the additional contracts that were needed.
On the 3rd, we began contracting for fire protection, mechanical, plumbing, electrical, and sanding and gravel services. To give you an example of the scope of this, over the weekend, we employed 12 plumbers to try to get things up and running. We have one plumber on staff, so, you know, a 12-fold increase. That's what it took to get the buildings open. There is a lot of damage in a lot of different places.
On Monday, January 3rd, Governor Dunleavy and the Mat-Su Borough both declared a disaster emergency. Assistant Superintendent of Finance Luke Fulp answered questions about access to these disaster relief funds and how the monies work with insurance claims.
Yep. Okay. yes. Yeah, so through the emergency declaration, disaster declaration that the state issued, there is state assistance that is available. It's not a federal disaster, so we don't have the FEMA funds that we did with the earthquake. And at this point, I don't believe we're anticipating that. But we are working with the borough and will likely produce an application with the borough. Because they are borough facilities. Most of the time what happens with the federal or state assistance is it makes up for any difference where your insurance policy or current insurance policy doesn't cover that loss. So for instance, for us, our deductible on property insurance is $250,000. It's on a per occurrence basis. So this wind event, at this point, the way we're viewing this claim is that this was a single occurrence. And so all damage that we have district-wide would be under a $250,000 deductible. It would not be based on each school site or each borough building. It would be $250,000 of loss shared between both government entities.
Mr. Fulp credited by name Director of Operations Jim Estes for his leadership during the windstorm. Mr. Fulp said that overall...
And so there's just a number of things that we'll learn from every disaster that we experience. Unfortunately, we're getting pretty good at this. I think our facilities department responded, remarkably well, given the circumstances, and a lot of that was lessons learned from the earthquake.
But it was member Jubilee Underwood who asked Dr. Traney about the elephant in the room.
This isn't a building question, but I have a lot of kids that are asking if, since it's an emergency declaration that was made, are those school days going to have to be made up at the end of it?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So I've been in contact with the commissioner already. We have a meeting scheduled. Jennifer scheduled it Friday. So I will have more information next Wednesday.
During the last meeting of 2021, member Tom Berge brought up the health curriculum's review cycle, and he did so again on Monday. The curriculum was last updated in 2015 and is due for a review, but earthquakes and pandemics have created delays in the six-year review cycle. Mr. Berge wanted to be sure the district was in compliance with both district policy and state regulations. Berge pointed to the 2017 Alaska Safe Children's Act, and with that, the state's recommended materials.
And one of the reasons why I'm concerned with this is when I look at the state requirements and the state recommendations, we've adopted some different materials than what the state recommends, and it concerns me that the board didn't vote on that. If it would have been a straight adoption of what the state recommended, then I would just say that we were complying with the state mandate and going forth. So now we may have had some updates. We might have been compliant with the state when the state first did it and the state changed and we just didn't go. I don't know the full history of it, but I do think that that's something that we should look at sooner than later.
The Alaska Safe Children's Act is made of two separate laws, Aaron's Law and Bree's Law. Aaron's Law covers sexual abuse and sexual assault. Bree's Law is a teen dating violence and abuse awareness and prevention program. And that was all there was to it. Winter break just kept on giving when the new year busted loose with hurricane-force winds that lasted a week. The governor and the borough declared a disaster emergency. In some ways, the lessons from earthquakes and fires and pandemics have been a blessing in disguise for the district. All but 6 schools were closed, while 35 out of 47 schools received some level of damage. Yet, all schools were open by Monday, January 10th. Member Dwight Probasco summed up the event well.
Thank you. Member Probasco?
Yeah, thank you. To echo, you know, the other board members on the, I guess, the resilience of our district and our valley. I mean, when you put it on the timeline, you have the earthquake, you have COVID, you have the windstorm, you have no buses, and our district seems to roll pretty good with that. And thanks to operations and maintenance and those staff who have been working hard and worked very hard to get the whole district back up and running. So. Thank you.
Tune in on Wednesday, January 19th, for the next live-streamed meeting of the school board right here on Big Cabbage Radio, and the In Summary broadcast on Friday, January 21st at 12:30, following the ski report. Until then, stay safe and stay well.
This has been In Summary with Emily Forstner. The Mattsu School Board meets twice a month, and streams of the full meetings are available on RadioFreePalmer.org. This piece is a production of Big Cabbage Radio. Questions about the program can be directed to manager@RadioFreePalmer.org.